Father, and venerable religious, dear parishioners, on this first day of the church year, as we begin this season of preparation for Christmas, the church puts these words of St. Paul before our eyes. And why? Why this exhortation to restraint, to giving up, indulging our senses? Because it is through our senses that almost all sins are committed. And it is sin that separates us from God. It is sin that makes us unfaithful to His commands. And so the church is rousing us to a spirit of repentance, a spirit of penance, a giving up of pleasures, always sinful pleasures, of course. But we need to even give up lawful pleasures. Why? Because that is how we show our repentance. It is through the senses, as I said, that so many sins are committed. So it is through mortifying those senses, denying ourselves certain pleasures, that we make up for our transgressions. Unfortunately, too many individuals make pleasure the purpose of their lives. Whether it's sinful or not, that's what they live for. Pleasure. What makes me feel good? What gratifies me? What satiates my desire for pleasure? And we can see right away the problem with that. We can't live for pleasure. We have to live for God. We have to live a life of virtue. Pleasure is not evil in itself. If it fulfills a lawful purpose, then it's not sinful. But this is the weakness of our human nature. We don't stop at the reasonable point, or at least that's our tendency not to. We tend to overdo it. So again, let us walk becomingly, not in revelry and drunkenness. St. Paul tells us these are the works of darkness. We have to put on the armor of light. And with Advent starting, it's like a fresh start to our whole spiritual life. There's many graces to be had by all of us, not just as individuals, but as a church, striving for a spiritual renewal, more so than at other times of the year. So we have to deny ourselves lawful pleasures so that we can also be stronger against temptation. The person, and this is just common sense, a person that's always giving into every lawful pleasure he can, when unlawful pleasure comes along, oh, there's just no strength, there's no willpower, or the will is too weak to say no, because there's that habit of giving in. As I said, pleasure is not evil in itself, but it's something we have to control. We have to discipline it. We have to mortify it. It can get out of hand. So much of the problem with misuse of pleasure is the addictive aspect of it. And one of the areas of the greatest addiction to unlawful pleasure is in the area of purity. Nowadays, we know there are more dangers, spiritual dangers to purity than ever before because of technology, because of electronics. Will be many more temptations. I was thinking of a phrase that we can apply to cell phones nowadays. Spiritual death traps. Not that they can't be used properly, but we have to be careful about it and certainly protect children from the grave dangers. that are to be found in them through the internet, television, movies. I was also reading something here from a pastoral magazine about the difficulties with addiction. And by the way, this is not only applicable in this area, but in other things such as drinking. And counselors have identified 5 stages of the descent into addiction. Be good for us to be aware of it. 1, discovery. 2, experimentation. 3, habituation. So we can see the danger of even taking that first step of discovering sinful, something sinful. Oh, this is interesting. This is pleasing. And then there's that experimentation aspect and then the habituation. The 4th step, compulsivity, and the 5th step, hopelessness. So that's the pattern that's there for addictive behavior. And so how do we not fall into these 5 stages? Well, just live the Christian life. Live a life of virtue. Put on the Lord Christ. Isn't that so positive sounding, what St. Paul says? Put on the Lord Christ. St. Paul doesn't just say, don't do this and don't do that. Put on the Lord Christ. It's a struggle. We'll never get there perfectly because we have a fallen human nature. So striving for virtue on a daily basis, that's the very essence of sanctity. That's putting on the Lord Christ. And I'm happy to say also that our school motto for this year is, I live now, not I, but Christ liveth in me. My sinful tendencies, I am overcoming them. In their place, I am putting the virtues of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even if somebody reaches that point of hopelessness, that feeling of, I'm just too far sunk down, may I remind you, it's never hopeless. The feeling of hopelessness may be there when a person has let himself go too far, but you never have to be hopeless. And how do we get better? Through prayer. Through prayer, we obtain more and more of God's graces. And with God's grace, we can do anything and everything we need to do. Prayer. Go to Mass. Go to the sacraments. Pray your rosary. These things are so powerful. And they can take somebody who's reached the lowest point of addiction and make a saint out of that person. That's the power of God's grace. Advent is a season of hope. And we have so much given to us. We just have to keep using it faithfully. And these amazing things will happen. But it's not just personal prayer, I think, that is so important to emphasize. There's something else I want to emphasize, and that is prayer as a family. And yes, you've heard me say this over and over again. I like to echo Father Patrick Peyton's Rosary Crusade motto, the family that prays together stays together. They resolve so many problems that otherwise would not be resolved. And they can prosper and thrive as a family. But there's a phrase I would like to put in your ear today, and that actually has biblical and theological basis. Interestingly enough, the family in Scripture is called a domestic church, a little church. So when you pull up to your homes today after leaving from Holy Mass, perhaps that phrase will come back to you. I hope it does. There's my little church. There's our domestic church. What do we mean by that? Well, let's look at the biblical phrases first. St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians And I'm just paraphrasing. The church and the family of Priscilla and Aquila, he commands to be saluted. And in another place, he writes, Aquila and Priscilla with the church that is their house, salute you much in the Lord. In his epistle to Philemon, he uses the same word. So St. Paul is saying there's elements of church that should be in your home, in your family. Think of it this way. Just what a beautiful thought. Our home can be like a little church, a domestic church. And he also says in Ephesians, although this doesn't directly relate to what he calls the members, the domestics of God. So St. Paul is definitely conveying this. We read from St. John Chrysostom's homily on the Ephesians. He says, for indeed a house is a little church. Thus it is possible for us, by becoming good husbands and wives, to surpass all others. St. Augustine takes this even one step further in making an analogy. He talks about the spiritual leadership of the father in the home. And he even, in a sense, calls the father something like a bishop or priest in his home. Now, that's really powerful, quite the analogy. Listen to this. Discharge our offices in our own houses. A bishop is called from hence because he superintends, because he takes care and attends to others. To every man, then, if he is the head of his own house, ought the office of the episcopate to belong, to take care how his household believe, that none of them fall into heresy. Do not neglect, then, the least of those belonging to you. Look after the salvation of all of your household with vigilance. And that's from his Sermon 94, sometimes numbered as Sermon 44, on Selected Lessons of the New Testament. So this doesn't mean that the family is the replacement for the house of God, such as the church where we attend Mass. No. But you're not obviously not in the church all the time. You have to live in your own homes. And the Word of God tells us, think of those elements of holiness and prayer that need to be in your own home. And isn't that the most important, or one of the most important lessons to teach children? The lesson of prayer, to ingrain in children the idea of morning and night prayers, ingrain in them the idea of daily rosary, praying it as a family. And remember, when you pray with others, you're not just getting the merit of your own prayer, you're sharing in their merit as well. So as we embark upon this holy season of Advent, remember we are told by St. Paul to walk in the ways of righteousness, to not let pleasure bring us down, to bring us away from God, to deny ourselves. And let us remember the power of prayer. It can overcome all problems. And then the power of family prayer as the domestic church. What graces that brings upon father, mother, children, the family, helping them all to go walk in these ways of righteousness, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.